Amen. We're in Psalm 124. We can open up to that, please. So the plan is to do at least three psalms and maybe begin 127. Psalm 124, 125, and 126 are kind of connected together by an idiom. But you know what an idiom is? Like a phrase that's commonly used. If and when is the idiom we're going to look at today. And the Psalm 124 begins with if, and Psalm 126 begins with when. I looked up the definition of this particular idiom and what it meant, and it made me more confused looking at the definition, so I won't read that to you. Just maybe give an example, but it's something of a common phrase that we use, kind of like doubt. You're kind of doubting something's going to happen, and then you tie a condition onto that. So if and when that person does show up, and then we'll have the party or whatever like that. So hopefully that's clear enough. We use it, and sometimes we understand it more just by the use of it than the definition. So if and when, as it applies to God's word, is very different. It's very different, and it speaks to faith. Speaks to faith. If you hear the term being used quite often, it speaks to doubt, how we use it in our common language. But in the Bible, there's a special secret here of the if and when and how it ties to our faith. So we'll be seeing that today. Psalm 124 begins with that. If. That word in the Hebrew is lule. If. Kind of sounds like ole. If. It had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have gone over us, overwhelmed us, the stream going over our soul. The proud waters in verse 5 had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare, the trap of the fowlers. That's the trappers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's not forget, this is a song that we're reading, and we did sing it, by the way. It was the first song that we did today. If the Lord had not been by our side. So that's the beginning of this idiom that we're going to be talking about, this idiom of faith, if and when. The one that we're commonly used to hearing is just kind of looking at the future. It's kind of a question mark looking at the future. It's the present and a question mark looking at the future, and it's like whatever kind of thought or thinking, if this happens, and if and when this thing happens, and then I will do something, or then this consequence. With faith, what I would suggest is being taught to us in God's word is that faith takes the if and when, and it plugs it back into the past, sits in the present, and looks forward at the future. It's timeless. It's not limited to just a question mark looking at the future in doubt. It takes the past, what God has done, brings that forward into the present, and now looks out into the future through the lens of what God has done. If it had not been for the Lord, now you'll hear the past being brought up in this case. They would have been swallowed up by their enemies, drowned by the anger of their enemies, devoured by their enemies, it's mentioned here, and then trapped by the enemy, like a bird caught in the trap. These are the things of the past, and what the Lord brought, the strength that the Lord brought, was that he was on our side. The Lord rescued and the Lord made free. Three things there. Because the Lord was on our side, there's the presence of God, the fellowship with God. The Lord rescued us. He's a deliverer. He doesn't stand by idly. And the Lord makes us free. That's a desire of the God that created you, that you would be free. Freedom to God looks like this, and I think of the best illustration I could come up with is a boat that's sitting with an anchor down in the mud. That is not freedom. That's stuck in the mud. A boat with its anchor way up, stuck in heaven, that's the idea of freedom. It's stuck in eternity. Our anchor, where we're anchored to, is in heaven. We're not anchored to this earth. KK read about it, and Roger did as well. Life is short down here. We don't anchor in. You know, we don't sink deep roots into the earth. Our deep roots are into heaven. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This morning I put up the actual testimony of one I mentioned last week of a Hindi girl who was delivered out of a life of bondage to yoga. Remember that from last week? We touched on that a little bit. You know, American yoga is a little different. It's superficial, like a lot of things we do. But this girl went for the full thing, and she found the full equation there and the full discovery and embraced it fully, where yoga was part of her life. It was everyday life to her. And she found that it was demonic. She found the end result of that was serving Satan, was being in bondage of Satan. So I put that testimony up on our church Facebook page this morning. If you want to listen to that, it's awesome. It really is. It really talks about a lot of things we're going to be talking about today even. In her testimony, she begins with, right off the bat, she said, "I never would in a million years thought I would be a Christian. I thought that was the white people's faith." And then she said, "I had no clue at the real power that was from God." See, she tasted power. She tasted the euphoria even that comes with this satanic power, this power of the flesh, the power of creation around you, the energies and different things that these things steer you into. She tasted that power and she was like, "Wow, this is real." And it was. It was the power of darkness, though, that she was tasting. My son, in his friendship with somebody, a co-worker, whoever it was, trying to get him to get away from the power of darkness. And the young fellow said, "No, this is real power. Satan does things for me." And Tony's going like, "But he's deceiving you. You know, the ultimate plan is not going to be good here. So he's a deceiver. He will give you something that looks like light. It looks good. It looks healthy. It looks wonderful. It has this appearance of peace. But it's false. It's counterfeit. He's a deceiver. I know it's not fair. I know it's tricky. But it's the reality that we live in down on this earth. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at the truth of God. It's there's deception out there. It's really dirty and it's really tricky." So I encourage you to listen to her testimony. You'll hear her come through the place of being suicidal in this as things culminated and developed in her life in yoga, in Hinduism, really, as she pursued that through yoga. And she went out to relieve her life and stand in front of a train. That was how she was going to do it. And that gave her, again, a counterfeit peace. All of a sudden, all this pain that she was having physically, and all the pain that she was having mentally and emotionally from this demonic presence, it gave her peace. Guess who was directing her to go stand in front of a train? Satan, leading her by the hand. This one that appeared as an angel of light, you know, with a yoga pose tied up like a pretzel, "Receive my peace." This counterfeit is now leading her to a train to give her the ultimate solution. She felt that peace, that counterfeit peace. Yeah. Wow, this will solve everything. So there she is on the tracks. It's at that point. She didn't know hardly anything about Christianity, but the name of Jesus was all that she could think of. As a last grasp of air, calling out, "Jesus, the name of Jesus, I call out the name of Jesus right now." She didn't know anything about the scriptures. She didn't know hardly anything. She's just calling on the name of Jesus in desperation. Breaking happened. Something broke at that moment. She had a long ways to go from that point, but something broke. The enemy's clutch from her hand, gone. Now she's on a journey with Jesus. Now the Lord is bringing her closer. But how does it look in our journey? Is it all once the Lord gets a hold of your life, then it's that Disney thing with music playing and it's all pleasant looking? No, it's not that. It's not that. It's better than that. He's continually shaping us. He's the potter. We're the clay. There she is, a fresh lump of clay delivered from Satan. Now God is going to start shaping her. And the first two things that shape her life are two false prophets that are sent to her. Amazing. But she tasted and saw something that was genuine, and she was able immediately to discern the false within the first few weeks of her salvation. Two false prophets came. One guy that was like very strange and, you got to follow me kind of guy, very cultish. And she's like, he's not lining up with the word of God even though he calls himself Christian. Then this lady comes over to her. These two people actually show up at her house. And this lady is talking about all these connecting to this to get herself healed and connecting to this thing to get her physical healing and doing all this stuff. And she's like, this doesn't seem real either. It just seems like the same stuff I came out of. But yet they called themselves Christian. It's garbage. It's counterfeit. There'll be people, and there are people around us that will say, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yet Jesus doesn't know them. They're using the name of Jesus for their own personal gain. So those two false prophets removed from her life. And she's going to a place now of complete surrender to Jesus Christ. And she's zeroing in. And she's allowing more things to drop off of her. And more things now to be surrendered to Christ. And she really emphasizes that. She says, that's where the beauty is, right there. That's where the life is when you surrender to Jesus Christ. That's when it happens. That's the honeypot right there. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ in fullness. So you hear her emphasize that. So we live in a community. We live in an earth now where a lot of this is going on. Even in our Port Byron school here, the young people are exposed to yoga, where the teachers are lighting candles and having them do repetitious things to get control of their anger. And, it sounds like a good goal, but it's counterfeit. It's counterfeit. I understand why they're doing it, but it's counterfeit. Let me just read the list of the counterfeit and what it does, just so we have an awareness of this a little more clear. The counterfeit will promote credentials. This person is a doctor so-and-so, or this person is an expert, or they're they have these credentials. And so they'll woo you with that, and they'll entice you with the credentials that people have. They'll entice you in a way of self-focus, of loving yourself, self-focus. Emptying your old self in this new self kind of thing. It sounds similar, but it's counterfeit, because Christ would have you completely deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. It's very different than self-focus and self-actuation and all of these things you do and people do. The counterfeit would say Jesus is a great teacher. In fact, they'll quote the Bible. They'll quote things from the Bible, and then they'll mix other things in it. And they certainly would believe that Jesus was a great teacher, including Islam and Hinduism. Buddha thought Jesus was fantastic, great teacher. Einstein even thought Jesus was fantastic, if it would just follow his teachings, right? Jesus was some type of mystic. You'll hear these things. He was a healer, a teacher. The genuine would say Jesus is Lord. That means you get off the throne and he occupies the throne of your life. Not that you're on the throne and he's the teacher serving you. You get off the throne and he occupies the throne of your life. Jesus is Lord, not just a teacher or healer. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. Not a way, not a truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's the genuine. If you want the genuine, that's where it is. God would have you filled with the Holy Spirit. The counterfeit would have you filled with any energy that happens to be blowing by. The counterfeit would have your relationship with a higher power that was more of a relationship like with one of a dog, where you have it on a leash, that you're in command and control. With a genuine, God is in control. With a counterfeit, good and evil are murky. It's yin and yang. It's kind of a mixture together. With a genuine, there's absolute truth. It's pure and clean and holy, seven times burned in the fire. With a counterfeit, love is number one. You hear this expression, love is love. What did they take out? But don't you hear in that expression? God's not even an expression. First was love is God, then love is love. Flip it around for the genuine. God is love, and it makes a huge difference. You got the cart before the horse if you're doing it the other way. It's a mess. You'll be doing all kinds of strange things. Freedom comes through education and enlightenment in the counterfeit. Promoting that. Not saying these things are completely wrong. Don't mistake me there. But when it's elevated, adds, this is our freedom. It becomes free, D-U-M-B, freedom. God makes us free. He holds freedom. He holds the truth. He is the truth that makes us free. If you want the genuine, this is what I'm telling you today. If you want a counterfeit, you can spin your wheels all your life on this side of the counterfeit. Our help is in the name of the Lord, back to our text today, who made heaven and earth. Psalm 125 brings the idea of trust sandwiched right between the if and when we're going to have the present, which is trusting in the Lord in this situation that I'm in right now. And every situation is going to be a little bit different, isn't it? You haven't been there before. For the apostles, the disciples, they were in a storm. One time Jesus is in the boat sleeping, and the other time Jesus is not there. And he comes out walking in the water. They thought he was a spirit of some sort. Every situation is just a little bit different. And it causes us, well, can I trust him in this situation? It causes us to grow. Are you trusting or rusting? Remember the camp? We had a whole theme of camp based on that. And that, man, that came up all through the camp, right to the very end, where KK and Kristen's mom was going to get baptized. It looked horrible out. It looked like a Euroclydon. It looked like a nor'easter was coming upon us. Big, heavy clouds, and it was just downpouring all day. And I was like, this is it. This is that last one of trusting in God, isn't it? Right to the last minute. I know it was a big deal for their mom to get baptized. It's something that she'd been preparing for months, and it was a big deal for her. And she came out, and literally the skies parted in such a grandiose way. It was incredible. So that whole thing was trusting or rusting. If you're not trusting, you're in fear and anxiety. You're oxidizing in your body, literally. Isn't that interesting? In biology terms, you are rusting, literally. You're oxidizing. You ever hear of the term antioxidant? Your oranges and all of that stuff have antioxidants and grapes. What does that mean? Anti, you don't rust. Oxidizing is rusting. It stops your cells from rusting out. That's what fear, you've heard that too? Stress causes this. It's all a matter of something that it's very familiar with us. We're either trusting God or we're rusting, literally. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. So when we're trusting in God instead of rusting, we're resting. change that U to an E. We're resting. When we're trusting in the Lord, we're resting in Him. Those two are very much connected. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Jerusalem is on that hill of Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts, those that have the anchor in heaven. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be on Israel. There's no in between. There's two kingdoms. You're either serving Satan, you're serving God. We can fool ourselves and say, well, I don't need any of that stuff. It's just me. No, well, you're in the kingdom of Satan at that point. There is an in between. Remember our anchor verse from last week was from John 14, where Jesus says, I'm going to give you a peace. It's not a peace that the world can give you. You can look everywhere. You can look in every TV show and every movie, even the ones that make you cry. You can look at all this stuff. You will not find this peace that Jesus is going to give you. Peace not as the world gives, I give to you. Peace. It's the presence of Him in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, faith ties the past, what God has done, to the present, and is forward-looking now in the future. Instead of just if and when this happens, and then I might, or this what, I am complete with the Alpha and Omega, Jesus Christ, who is the beginning and end, the author of our faith. That's what faith is. It embraces the past, the present, and the future. All the lines are blurred there. The past is just as alive as the present, is just as alive as the future. Jesus occupies all of those places. When you have Jesus in you, that faith grows strong. If and when becomes very different to you. The guys are actually in the particular story about the disciples on the boat in Matthew 14. The two different storms that they went through on the boat. But as was shared this morning, the KK shared about as long as I live from Psalm 116. You know, that commitment. It's really a short time down here. Isn't it cool to think about that your whole life could be just that journey on that boat across, where Jesus said, get in the boat and go across. That's your whole life. In reality, that's very accurate compared to eternity. It's a wisp of smoke. Somebody read about grass being, you know, the wind blowing over the grass and it drying up. You know, our life down here, it's just a little boat ride across the lake. And during that boat ride, we have storms. We have the times where Jesus is bidding us to come out of the boat. The times He's seemingly sleeping. That was good. Good sharing this morning. In those two storms, when Jesus was in the boat, we see Him at rest. We're trusting in the One that is at rest. He's not all nervous. He's not freaking out. You have Christ in you. You have that presence of rest in you automatically. It's a gift. My peace I give unto you. Jesus is at rest. He's the master of the storm. He walks on it. He tells it what to do. He's the master over it. Psalm 126. The other part of this is the when the Lord turns, sets us free, when the Lord has done these things. So again, looking at the past. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, set them free, we were like them that dream. That word surreal might come to mind there. It was surreal. It's when you're set free, as this young Hindi lady was, it is a place of, it's like a dream. Never experienced this peace before. This freedom that I have now, it doesn't rest on my shoulders. It's now on God. on his finished work. What a freedom. It's surreal. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen of the lost world, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, the people that are still remaining, that haven't been fully delivered yet. Bring them out, God. Gretchen was talking about removal of grave clothes, all of that process. Lord, keep doing it. Keep, Lord Jesus Christ, making us free and sending us on wider open places, Lord God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Isn't that a great truth of the Scripture? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There might be somebody right now that is feeling that pain and feeling that anguish of uncertainty of life. So, Lord, we agree as a group of believers right now in the name of Jesus for that situation. That person might be having a hard time breathing even, Lord God. We pray for your grace and mercy over them. Focus for those that are going out there. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I love that truth. That truth doesn't make us free. We are truly sleeping, if that's the case. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There's a proverb that goes along with us that hope deferred makes a heart sick. You know, there's the time of tears. There's the time of anguish. There's the time of agonizio, as Dottie was talking about. There's that time of fighting through it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's an if and when we can live with. That's an anchor in heaven. It's not an anchor in the mud. It's not a question mark. You will reap in joy. This boat, this journey across the lake is a hard one. It's a difficult one to fight to get to the other side. The promise is powerful. He that goes forth and weeps bears precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Little testimony that all the words were popping out from more modern day testimony of this happening right before our eyes, going on around the world even this morning. This is a ministry that we support. It's called Open Doors. It is a outreach to different nations and to reach the persecuted in Christ, to set those at liberty. So there's her name is Momina from Somalia. Now she is a believer in Christ. I'll read some of this for you. She was a faithful Muslim woman. She read the Quran and prayed regularly, yet she felt no peace in her heart. To try and stir something inside her, she tried to skip her prayers for 3 consecutive days, trying to work something. On one of those days, she had a dream. She saw a bright light, shining light, and heard the words, "You're my daughter." And I asked, "Who are you?" And the voice answered, "I'm your father, the Savior of the world." Momina was moved, yet she didn't understand the words. Jesus visited her 2 more times in her dreams, each time affirming that he was one true Savior. In her last dream, Momina felt a spiritual awakening unlike anything she had experienced before. She excitedly shared her encounters with her mom. Her mom said it was the devil. Being a Muslim mom, of course, refused to listen. She went to a Christian man she knew who gave her a Bible. Then she went to church where she publicly declared her faith in Jesus. This is all recent. What Momina did not know is that her uncle was in the church that day, took a photo of her, a spy, in church, Muslim spy, took a photo of her to show to her family so that they can declare an infidel, divorce her from the family. What happened next left Momina emotionally and physically devastated. Does this sound like Disney? No, it's something better. This is awesome. This is the abundant life. Her husband declared that she and the children were dead to him. Her extended family spewed insults and threatened her. Nobody would give her money. There was absolutely no one she could turn to, but God was about to do something incredible in her life, a way to see his love in action. Momina and her children fled to another town where a church, a partner of this ministry, takes care of believers from Muslim backgrounds like Momina. The church reinvigorated Momina's faith, and with the help of Open Doors and family, was able to find a place to live, food, and helping the kids get to school, and Momina even getting a job. Your support reached me when I was almost broken and I felt I had no one. I thought I would see my children die one by one if not for you. Grief, hunger, and thirst would have killed us. This just came out. What are we looking at today? If it wasn't for the Lord, we would have been overtaken. We would have been overcome. Lord, we pray a blessing over Momina and her kids. Right now, Lord Jesus Christ, that she would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. Well, let's go from Africa to China. In a quick blink of an eye, churches in China have come under increasing pressure over the past year to make sure that their teachings align more closely with the official position of the Chinese Communist Party. I'm not reading fake stuff here. This is going on in this little blue marble we live on every day. There's a picture of kids worshiping the Lord right there. Life for children at home is difficult. Chinese culture traditionally does not reward kids with hugs, words of affirmation, or time together, as Eliana. You would have said, if you were a good communist dad, you would have make her tough. That's the philosophy of the devil. Instead, the emphasis is on what the children have not achieved. You don't measure up in what they owe their parents. You know what I've done for you? That's the philosophy of Satan. Bearing itself in the Communist Party of China here. To succeed, a child must possess steel determination. Child are praised or shamed based on their performance. Lots of pressure. It's a life of conditional love. If and when. Kids are drawn to us because they experience God's unconditional love. Now speaking of the church community there. And feel valued and respected. They are free to be themselves, to laugh, to enjoy life. What are we reading about today? Laughter, the surreal presence of God, the freedom that we experience in Him that's genuine, not counterfeit. Discover who they were created to be. They hear about the power of the gospel, how Jesus died for them so that they might have life. They learn to believe what God says about them rather than the lies that society has fed them. That's the February issue. I'm excited about the gospel of God. Except the Lord builds the house, we'll finish with verse 1 of Psalm 127. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. The invitation this morning is to be anchored in heaven. You've been trying to anchor in different things, perhaps. You've set what you thought was firm, and it became just mud. It's time to set your anchor firmly in heaven. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. It's simple as that. When you confess Him as Lord, you're stepping off the throne of control of your life. You're going to experience the genuine peace of God. You're going to experience the genuine life. You're going to experience genuine joy. You're going to experience genuine light. No longer darkness disguised. Jesus Christ, I confess you as the Lord of my life. As KK read today, all the days of my life, this little boat ride across the lake, all the days of my life, I will praise thee. There's rest in that commitment. There isn't uncertainty. Like tomorrow, maybe I'll change my mind because I got my anchor somewhere and that shifted. Your anchor is in heaven when you confess Christ as Lord. He comes to dwell in your heart, to take up occupancy in your heart. You've got the peace of God literally dwelling within you. You go out through the day and it's not you out there, but he's by your side. You step aside, in fact, and you allow Christ to speak. Instead of fear, faith speaks. Instead of doubt, joy speaks. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your word today and how it's already enriching our minds and our hearts, and it's dividing what's flesh from spirit. We pray for this afternoon, Lord God, and the encounters that we have and the people that we'll come face to face with. May they see the twinkle in our eye, Lord God. May they see the joy in our voice, Lord God, or hear the joy in our voice. Lord Jesus Christ, baptize us now with your spirit from heaven. Fill us, Lord God, with your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.